Hello and welcome to the Columbus Metropolitan Club on WCBE. Learn more about CMC's weekly events, broadcast, membership, and sponsorship at our website, columbusmetroclub.org, where you can register to participate in the live stream of our weekly Wednesday noon forums. Today's CMC forum, Three Chambers of Diversity, was recorded on February 17, 2021. Speaking are J. Avery Frost, Executive Director of the Central Ohio African American Chamber of Commerce and Program Manager at the Columbus Urban League. Claudia De Leon, President of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and COO of La Mega Media. Dr. Joy Coons Lewis, Vice President of Asian American Commerce Group and Vice President of Human Resources and Risk Management at Children's Hunger Alliance. And our host, Haley Colombo, reporter at Columbus Business First. Let's listen in.
First, I would love to go down the line. Maybe we can start with Avery, if you might be able to each share with us what the impact is in Central Ohio of the businesses represented by your organization. So when we're talking about impact, talking about, you know, the number of jobs, how it impacts the social fabric, and kind of what the size is of your organizations.
Yes. Well, good afternoon. Thank you all for having me today on this panel. So as far as the African American business community is concerned, in the Central Ohio Metropolitan Service Area, we know that as of the last survey of business owners in 2012, and I haven't seen the 17, but there were over 21,000 self-identified black-owned businesses in our region. And so when you look at impact, that's at least 21,000 jobs because we have some owner-operators, but we do have employers. And we have some businesses that have over 100 employees. And so when we're talking about economic impact, we're talking about many households that are impacted and served by our owners. Additionally, when we're thinking about, you know, I saw this question, I think about what is our cultural impact on the community? And there's a variety of ways that black-owned businesses have impact culturally, but, you know, I'm thinking about our beautiful restaurants, our diverse, like we have, and all of us could probably attest to that when we're talking about some great cuisine that we have here in Columbus. But we're caretakers, we're service providers, there are consumer companies, like personal care companies, and you see a lot of black-owned businesses on the business-to-consumer side, as well as the B2B, but we do have a lot of activity and are quite pivotal. When you look at the service providers, all of us could say this, that especially in COVID times, that a lot of our businesses were essential and had to stay open. And so it can be quite wide ranging.
Fantastic. Let's have Claudia share.
Sure. So thank you again for having me on this panel. The Hispanic community is a bit newer to Central Ohio. As far as the state is concerned, there's around 16,000 Hispanic-owned businesses across the state. Franklin County probably has one of the largest populations with close to 4,000 businesses here. The majority of our businesses are concentrated in construction and the services industries, a lot of them in the food industry and food and housekeeping and so forth. Similar to the African American community, during COVID, we found that one of the most impacted sectors for us was precisely the Hispanic business community, because a lot of them were considered essential, whether it was agriculture, whether it was construction, whether it was supermarkets, which, you know, we have a lot of those too that cater to local areas, and definitely the food industry. This also impacted a lot of our families because the education and the way that a lot of our communication has to be in Spanish, some of the information just wasn't sent out there the appropriate way in order for everybody to understand. So obviously, you know, we were heavily impacted during COVID, but at the same time, it is a community that contributes a lot to the local economy and that has a lot of these positions that not only are essential throughout the whole year, but that we found to be very essential during something like a pandemic.
Thank you. What about Joy?
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone, of course, Columbus Metropolitan Club, for including us, the Asian American Commerce Group, Asian American community, of course. Yes, we certainly, I would say, have a great impact as far as the community is concerned. And of course, as an organization that we represent, we have about 21,000 businesses, I would say, with in general terms, for the state of Ohio, about 10.8 billion receipts, and about 1.8 billion is actually payroll costs. So that just tells you how much we impact as far as economy is concerned, the jobs that we hold. Predominantly, our businesses are in the area of construction, architectural and engineering, also hospitality, from hotels to restaurants, and also we got a growing Vietnamese-owned nail salons, especially here in Central Ohio. We also have I would say healthcare. Healthcare is a big thing. From the profession standpoint, also, we have a lot of Asian Americans in the healthcare field, from being doctors to nurses. I would say even with Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, we have a lot of Asians who are nurses. So we do impact heavily as far as economy is concerned. Now, with regard to COVID, we certainly have been impacted. We have a lot of restaurants that have been operating in a very reduced capacity. They have been impacted, and especially with the curfew, and even with some unrest that had happened, it has affected some of our, Asian American owned, restaurants.
Okay. And how does the larger community in Columbus support or not support businesses, you know, that you represent? I think this question is super important, as, you know, coming off of the year that we had with, recognizing systemic racism and, the topic of inclusion. Avery, do you want to start with this topic?
Yeah, sure. I know that we definitely at the chamber saw a peak of activity at a time when I think a lot of chambers were concerned about membership because of COVID, right? We know that chamber memberships can be a luxury item, right? But because of everything that happened in May and June and of his all time, I guess, we did see a peak. We saw more people, black-owned businesses, coming to join our chamber, but also we saw more support from the community interested in supporting black-owned businesses. And so whether it was going to restaurants, buying clothes, thinking about who your accountant is, who your insurance agent is, different ways that you can be supportive, we did see an improvement. What I would say is I'm always grateful for those things, but we want to encourage people to think, okay, now what's the long-term support that we can be providing to black-owned businesses and businesses owned by people of color? What else can we do? It can't just be you had a meal during Black Restaurant Week. Thank you, for sure, that can't be the only thing. And so we have to look at how are we making long-term investments into our communities of color to create equitable spaces. We're not saying give us handouts. We're saying come buy from us. We have great things too. We have great services too. And so we definitely have seen a peak, and we're still seeing more people coming along. But that's always our question back to folks. It's like, thank you for this donation. But what are we talking about a year from now? What are we talking about 5 years from now? It's just an ongoing conversation.
So I think as far as the Hispanic community is concerned, this has been interesting for me to watch over the past 17 years. That's how long I've been in Columbus. Coming originally from South Texas, it was never an issue. It was just a business was a business, a community was a community, because the Hispanic community in Texas has been there for a lot longer. Throughout the years in Central Ohio, I have definitely seen how our community has been embraced a lot more by the local economy and by the general market. Similar to what happened in Avery's case, in our case, there was a lot more interest during COVID. And as much as it affected negatively in a lot of different aspects, I think for us to be able to get this additional exposure was very important. And it wasn't so much because some of these businesses were specifically Hispanic. It was this embracing of everything local, right? So supporting the small business owners and the local economy, and how a lot of of, because a lot of our community is either migrants, so people coming from another state, or immigrants, new Americans coming entirely from a different country, it's just in our bloodstream to open up a business and to contribute in that way to the economy. A lot of times it's not, you know, we've got the Ohio State University here, which is the second largest university in the U.S. that attracts a lot of the Hispanic community. But unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, graduate and leave, whereas the migrant community and the immigrant community stay here and set their roots because they see what a great community it is to raise a family, to start a business, and all the opportunities that are out there. And I truly have seen that there is a lot of support locally, and I'm not entirely sure that it is because we are, we're a Hispanic community, or because of, you know, all of the different creative industries that we're involved in. Something that, you know, Avery mentioned, having Black Restaurant Week, for example, we have Hispanic Restaurant Week as well. And something that I find super interesting is that it's an opportunity for us to also educate the general community that, and I'm Mexican, but not everything is Mexican, especially in Central Ohio, the Latino community here is comprised of around 47% of Mexican roots, but the rest of it is everywhere else. And there is such a great variety of different cultures within the Hispanic community, whether it's food or it's music or it's restaurants. But it's also interesting to see where people are coming from and what industries they're in. So whether it's a healthcare industry or whether it's the technical people that are involved in tech, if you look at the way that geography is set up, it's obviously a lot easier for there to be a higher immigrant population coming from Mexico because it's right across the border. But when you look at people coming from the Caribbean or Central America or South America, there is a lot of talent there. And a lot of times it's doctors and engineers and nurses and people with MBAs that are coming here because they're either refugees or they're looking for a bigger opportunity. And it's an entirely different type of industry. And I think as the general community becomes more educated as far as, you know, what it means to be Latino and where we're coming from, there's definitely a much higher embrace on the different things that we're able to contribute to the local economy.
Fantastic. And Joy, can you share?
Certainly, since 2020, the Asian American population has doubled. And having said that, we do have, as far as support for the larger community, one of the many strategic ways that we have been doing is to align with Franklin County, their EEO division, Ohio Department of Administrative Services, and most recently, we signed a strategic alliance memorandum with the Small Business Administration, federal SBA, actually. So that in itself, you know, we want to make sure that our larger community, our larger business community get the support from all this government liaisons that really are handing out loans, money, especially to minority-owned businesses. So we want to make sure that they have access to this information, you know. Most recently, we even had an education coordinated with the SBA to make sure that our Asian American-owned businesses have access to the PPP.2. So that is one of the many ways that we're trying to really support the larger community. Again, you know, we would like to be considered as the central, you know, point of connection, of contacts with regard to finding resources for Asian American owned businesses. The Indian community is one of the fastest growing owned business here in Central Ohio. Next is the Chinese American owned businesses, followed by Korean. Filipinos also have been emerging as far as owning businesses. So we do have that support, and we're making sure that, again, we as the Asian American Commerce Group is the central point, the central connection. We provide that synergy, and we want to make sure that we are able to provide them these resources.
Speaking of the PPP loans, Would each of you be able to share, Claudia and Avery, about, you know, how, you know, Hispanic-owned businesses and African-American-owned businesses have fared with regard to PPP and how, you know, there could be a better, how the federal government could do a better job with that? And Joy, if you had anything else to share on that, that'd be great as well.
So as far as the Hispanic community is concerned, this was such a challenging subject for us, as particularly as a chamber, but in general, just I think any Hispanic leader that was trying to help business owners even apply. So we had a big challenge because, first of all, there was a language barrier, and it's not to say, you know, once a business owner establishes here, obviously there's enough English that you can communicate on your specific industry or your trade. But when it comes to this, you know, finding the access, figuring out where to go, figuring out what to do, it was a great challenge because a lot of business owners just had no idea how to apply. And a lot of our business community is particularly in the construction sector, don't necessarily have employees. So sometimes it's just a one-man show. And so they have to have access to different sorts of ways of applying. We were very fortunate to have an alliance with the SBA, and we were so fortunate to have somebody at the SBA help us, but it was definitely challenging to get Hispanic business owners even to apply. A lot of times it was a matter of education on their end. They didn't have all of their paperwork in order that they needed to apply. A lot of times it was just their lack of knowledge on what was needed and what they could apply for and what it implied, whether it was a PPP loan or an EIDL loan. And a lot of times, and when we had, you know, several circumstances where unfortunately, you know, there's at least one local business owner who is, you know, on the verge of closing now, who tried applying for a specific local loan, it was a loan, I'm sorry, and he was told, you don't qualify because you're not African American. So it's minority, but it's only for this specific group, and that's not how it was originally promoted. So he went through all the steps, and it was very unfortunate for us because it was also a learning process. A lot of times you say minority and you're like, well, we fit into being that minority pool, but we didn't realize that there were, you know, some, you know, I guess the small print or whatever it was. Now, I think that was, you know, one isolated case, but in many cases, it was just a matter of getting people to know how to apply and where to go and then how to follow up and what to do to be able to obtain those funds. So it's definitely been challenging, and that's probably what has kept us busy the last year, is just going through that process.
Yeah, we had a very similar problems, I guess, with the process, and I can speak on it most deepest through my position at the Columbus Urban League. So with the Minority Small Business Resiliency Initiative, since day one, we've been working with people through the PPP process. And so doing education, doing one-on-one, pulling people through it, and having it creative, because having understanding the law and the intention of the program, there are a whole bunch of different ways that people could apply and get funded, but some people, they will call their bank and they will be told no because they didn't have the right number one document. But it's like, but they had number seven. And if we put these things together, then we can show very clearly what their payroll was or what their revenue was. And so it is painstaking, like especially constantly I'm on the phone educating people through the process and how to apply. But it was a language barrier, but not like there were a lot of English speaking, but it was like business, legalese, SBA language. It was like, what is this? I don't know how to navigate through this. And so I've had numerous conversations with people who say, well, they told me I'm not eligible. We talk it through, find out they are eligible. And we have built relationships with maybe this round, maybe 12 banks. Where we can, based on the person and their skills and their acumen, I guess, we can match them with somebody. And so if you need to be walked through the process, I can say, here, go talk to this bank. But if you could do it by yourself, I could say, here's a portal where you can apply online right now. Like U.S. Bank is going really fast with their applications, if anybody's wondering. But there are also some cool small banks like Union Bank, Commodore Bank, LCNB, a number of smaller ones that are working with people through the process, and the smaller banks too can be fast because they're smaller and all you can get things done in-house. And so for us, it's just been a really almost a one-on-one kind of thing, and it shouldn't be. The process, we've heard from bankers and from business owners, the way that PPP has changed over time has been such a barrier by itself.
And I think I was just going to add to that. We shared the same sentiments in the beginning, you know, especially when it came out first. Fortunately, we have one of our board members who has such in-depth knowledge of the workings of the PPP loan, such that he is able to help, you know, some of our members. His name is Ahmed Apolinario, who is with the Minority Business Council as well. So with that, we did express that challenges because we experienced the same, and we told the SBA, you got to do something about streamlining your process, you know, and so they're doing something from the latest thing that I've heard from them, that they're really doing something. I think the new streamlined process is going to come out soon, and hopefully, and also translators, you know, they recognize that for some communities, English is not the first language. So from what I understand, they're doing something about it.
And I'd like to add something to that as well, because I'm sure as people are looking at us and listening to us, you might agree that this has not been an issue that is specific to the minority community. I think in general, a lot of small business owners just had trouble, you know, going through the process. I think what makes it unique for the three of us on this panel is that the three of us also serve new Americans. And so on top of just the general lack of knowledge that a business owner may have, there's also, you know, like, you know, both of these ladies have said, there's also a language barrier on both ends, and there's cultural barriers too, to the different communities that we serve. I think at least in our case, the biggest challenges that we face have now turned into opportunities for us, because a lot of these businesses that were doing things a specific way because that's how they do them in their country, or because that's how they were thought, or that's just how they knew to do it, particularly in our community, was maybe a lot of cash, you know, from paying employees cash to not even having a bank account, just keeping everything in a safe, and then all of a sudden being hit with this and saying, but I've got the numbers and I've got the sales, but I can't show them. And so now this has become an opportunity for us to say, hey, you know, if hopefully we never have another pandemic like this, but if there is, it's best for you to be able to do things the way that needs to get done. So we understand that you're still declaring your taxes. We understand that you're doing, you know, what you have to do. But this other part that you didn't do, this is an opportunity for us to fix it. And I think that having a real life experience has been a great opportunity for us to not just, you know, a lot of the times we'll, as a chamber, you know, we do educational programming as well. And we'll tell businesses, you should be doing this. You know, we'll have speakers come in from banks and from, you know, nonprofits, but it doesn't make any sense until there's a real life opportunity. So this has been a great opportunity for us too.
You're listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, Three Chambers of Diversity. Speaking are J. Avery Frost, Executive Director of the Central Ohio African American Chamber of Commerce and Program Manager at the Columbus Urban League. Claudia De Leon, President of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and COO of La Mega Media. Dr. Joy Coons Lewis, Vice President of Asian American Commerce Group and Vice President of Human Resources and Risk Management at Children's Hunger Alliance. And our host, Haley Colombo, reporter at Columbus Business First. On WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, 106.3 FM Newark, streaming online at WCBE.org, a broadcast service of Columbus City Schools. We'll return to the conversation after a short break.
Hey, this is Steve Inskeep. People say that the news is the first draft of history. You can never get the whole truth of a story from a single day's news or a single click, which is why we'll be back tomorrow and the day after, following up on stories to bring you the facts and better understanding. We keep working for the full story. Listen to Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekday mornings from 5 till 9 on WCBE Columbus.
Hi there, I'm Maggie Brennan, host of The Global Village. Tune in weekdays from 12:15 to 3 p.m. for a wide variety of world, Americana, indie rock, Celtic, blues, jazz, local music, your request, giveaways, the list goes on. Tune in for all that and more right here on 90.5 FM and HD Columbus.
Welcome back to the Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, Three Chambers of Diversity. Let's get back to the conversation.
what is next? Like, what do you see as kind of the next, you know, the next hurdle or the next, I guess, vista for your particular organizations? Like, what is needed to grow the African American business community or the Latino business community or Asian American owned businesses? What do you guys see as the next way to move forward?
For us, we really have, I mean, access to capital and access to contracts is are two of our pillars of service. And so we've always been focused on it, but PPP and everything really illuminated the lack of banking relationships in a solid way. And so we've already pivoted inward to looking at really growing stronger banking relationships to connect our chamber members to. Because for me, the end goal really is that if every Black-owned business hires at least one or two more employees with living wages, our unemployment number will drop. And it's historically been higher than the average. And so if we can look at it from that way, how can we grow our businesses? That's substantial when we have a lot of owner-operators who are just themselves. We also saw last year or this year, so many people are doing cash or just doing 1099s. And they're saying, well, I have 10 employees. And I look at them like, you have one employee. And the IRS wants you to remember that those are the contractors, right? And so because that's very important. And so we have to do some more education when we're talking about how to, everything they're doing is totally legal, but it may not be the best way to run a business. And so we have some work to do there. And I think all of that will help increase the sales when we look at the whole end goal. So that's where we're looking right now.
Very similar or exactly the same to what Avery has expressed is what we have found to, especially during this time. And like I said, even though it was a horrible thing to go through, it was full of opportunities for us because we found that there is a lack of relationship in banking, that there is a lack of access to capital, that there is definitely a lack of education. So I think that that's similar across the board. But something additional for us as a chamber is that we actually did our rebranding. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. And we had found that not only the chamber, but our Hispanic community as a whole, particularly the business community, has been kind of working in a silo. So we have like our own ecosystem, you know, where it's, you know, the Hispanic community will buy from Hispanic grocers. And, you know, there's Hispanic beauty salons and Hispanic mechanic shops or et cetera. And a lot of it is just the language, but also I think the culture. And something that, you know, when we did a rebrand, if you look at our logo now, we made it very similar to be able to fit into what the Columbus region has to offer. You know, we did our slogan to be Unidos, which means united, the U and the S being, you know, bigger, because we want to create that us, you know, that is in part of Columbus, and we want to be a part of the region. And I think that what's moving forward for us is to really get our community to buy into integration and to be able to form a part of the general market, to have more collaborations, to understand that, hey, you should become an MBE because there's all of these government contracts that you could be tapping into that you're not because you're just working within this small, you know, ecosystem. And our community isn't that large, but the opportunities for our business owners are huge if we're able to get them to go, you know, to lose that fear of whether it's, you know, they think that there's racism out there or they're just, you know, there's a language barrier. Something that has been beneficial for us too is not only the Dreamers, which are the, you know, these children that were raised in the United States that speak the English or speak English, I'm sorry, that are integrated into the culture, but also the children of the business owners that have grown up here and can help translate, right? And they can help make those connections. And I think that for us as a chamber, it's very important, yes, to do the things that these other chambers are doing because we need our community to have access to both capital and education and, you know, and just the general knowledge of how to run their business. But as a, you know, as an additional step, before we even get there, we want our business owners to look at the opportunities that are out there if they just integrate more into the general market. And that'll just help us, you know, more because I truly feel that Central Ohio is a city that embraces diversity. And I truly believe that, you know, can we show the rest of the country that it is this sort of city that welcomes these businesses, we will attract more. And that's just going to help our economy. You know, more of these communities that are out there wanting to move somewhere and they look at how great Columbus is and how embracing it is of these other cultures and businesses, it's just going to help everyone. So I think that that's what's, you know, forward for us.
Yeah, for the Asian American business community, certainly, as I mentioned earlier, there's a growing Indian-owned businesses. It's interesting, access, I would say access to contracts, access to capital, are also the issues that we have. However, from the cultural standpoint, most of our Asian-owned businesses, I mean, they have, they shy away from really accessing the capital, even if it's available for them, because they're pretty much self-made. They have their own capital. Or it's interesting because yesterday I was just talking to someone who owns a nail salon. I was there to get my nails done yesterday, and she's a Nepalese. And I said to her, I asked her, I said, hey, you know, have you tried the EIDL loan? Said no. I was trying, but I had to pay it. And then how about the PPP? He said, no, I did not. He said, so how much did you invest in this? You know what, Joy, I don't really, I paid cash for everything. That's what she was saying. I paid cash for everything. I don't want to go through the bureaucratic process, you know. So I started to tell her what is available and how she can access it. And she can even make her business grow, you know, and get another salon, you know, have some branches. And so it kind of put a spark on her. But the lack of education and the fear also, you know, like the Indian Americans has their own, the Chinese has their own. As a matter of fact, we have a Chinese chamber, you know, we have a two Indian American groups also. We have Filipinos, we have Korean. I mean, they have their own, own chambers, I would say, and how they help this business. So that is the growth for us, is to really make sure that we collaborate, because we can do so much for the Asian American business community if we just collaborate, if we just bring that education that, you know, like what Claudia said, Central Ohio, the state of Ohio they have so much to offer for us that can help us grow our business and, of course, grow the economy.
What do you see as, you know, obviously 2020 was, I don't think any of us want to go back there, but, you know, 2021, the beginning of it has also been, you know, tough. We're all here wearing masks and everything. Nothing has really changed too much. But how do you see each of your organizations or the businesses represented by your organizations coming out of COVID-19? Obviously, we've seen that minority-owned businesses have been disproportionately impacted by COVID, as far as having to close, that sort of thing. So, yeah, what do you see as the future in terms of coming out of COVID and how it might impact each of your respective groups?
I would say for us, so one thing I don't know if I mentioned, we are probably the youngest group up here. So we formed in 2018, in January 2018. And so this has been a weird year, right, as part of our startup phase. But what we're seeing, I think that I haven't actually heard from any members that they've closed, but I have. I know of other black-owned businesses that have, and I know of a number of restaurants that have. I think that the longer the uncertainty goes with when this will end, the harder it is to forecast where we'll be in a year. The vaccine plan is optimistic, right? But our businesses continue to come to me and say, I don't know what's going to happen if I can't generate these sales in the next quarter, or if I can't figure out some support, whether it's a loan or whether it's the PPP. Some people refused to do a loan. They only wanted to hear about the grants because they didn't know where they would be in a year to be able to pay it back. And so it's not just looking for the free money. It's really the I don't know where we'll be. And so because of that, but I see now people are turning to EIDL because that 30-year term is much more interesting. There is this huge uncertainty still. And so I know that I can say pretty surely that none of our members have closed, but that doesn't mean that there's not a huge struggle. And because if you were able to join a chamber with cash and you have the cash flow to front it, you're in a different place coming into COVID than other people might be. So that's just a kind of a frame to make sure we're looking through it with the right lens. But it's, I think, for everyone, there's a lot of uncertainty. I know our chamber will still be here next year, but I also know that, and we continue to grow as an organization. I think we're at 102 members right now, which is the highest we've ever been. And it happened during COVID. And so it's, I think it's a big question mark. I'm not going to even posture and say otherwise for us.
So I think we're only a year younger than we're only a year younger because the chamber I'm sorry was dormant for a couple of years, and it's very similar. You know, there is still a lot of uncertainty. You know, something that I have found very I guess hopeful, and in a way I'm very proud of it, is that there's been a lot of help between business owners in our community. Right now there is one that I can think of that, you know, he's got a chain of restaurants, and one of the restaurants was located in an area that was downtown, you know, where it's very impacted, and he wanted to close. And so a different business owner from another area said, hey, you know what? I'll take it from you. That way you don't have to close and you still have your other businesses, and you don't have to lose anything. And I'm just going to convert it to a different concept. And I've got these ideas. I think, you know, similar to what happens in the Asian community, and I'm sure that, you know, some of the African American community, our business owners work a lot on cash. And that, even though has been a struggle for us throughout the years, and telling them, hey, you only need 20%, you know, and get a loan, or 10% if it's an SBA loan, instead of you going and straight out buying something. A lot of our business owners have, you know, they've got the cash on hand, so they've been able to live through COVID without having to close because they're using that cash, you know, that is in a way unfortunate, but in a way has permitted for a lot of these businesses to not close entirely. So a lot of our businesses did close, you know, when the economy was closed. You know, they closed temporarily, but as we start opening up again, you can see that they're reopening. They're trying to be very creative with the way that they offer services. Something that has been a great opportunity, particularly for restaurants, because there are a lot of Hispanic-owned restaurants, is that they're getting into the delivery and the online ordering, something that had never been done before. Our community wasn't even that, you know, they weren't the type of community that wanted to order and take out to their homes. But now there is that great source of revenue that is coming in for them that either allowed them to stay open or now allows them to have that variety in revenue coming into their businesses. So I think that, you know, as we, you know, move into this year, which I agree with Avery, there is a lot of uncertainty, and we've got to see what happens with the vaccine. You know, it looks like a lot of business owners are planning, even whether it's, you know, their events and so forth, for September, October, November of this year. As we move forward and realize if that's going to be able to happen, you know, and if we're able to actually open the way that we want to open, it's just embracing the opportunities that this experience has given us.
Yeah, for the Asian community, Asian American Commerce Group, I think we're the oldest. We were established 1993. So, but we had some challenges to stay open from because we are the working board, and we've just been doing the chamber business on our own personal time. So, however, again, I'm proud to say that we have the passion from our board members, and we have 10 of them who really, when it's time to work, it's time to work, as far as, you know, helping the Asian American business community. And so each one of us have our own sort of a specialty that we are able to provide to our membership. Now, again, our membership is open not only to Asian Americans, but to everyone, it's open. So during this time, I would say one area of business that has been really hit hard is the hospitality area, the restaurants. But just like what Claudia said, they have been creative in providing curbside, you know, pickup and delivery. And, you know, there's one, I would say, Chinese restaurant that's on Sawmill, very famous. They've been there for a long, long time. You know, they've not done this curbside pickup, but I tell you, he said, the owner said, it's better than the having dine-in. They're actually better from an income standpoint. So hotels, of course, we have one Indian American who owns a chain of hotel here in Central Ohio, has been hit very hard, and he was very vocal about it. But he's holding off. You know, he's there. I think one thing with this pandemic is that we have been creative enough and innovative in strategically creating ways to survive. You know, the future we can't just like what the two have said that. You know, we can't tell the future, but they're there holding off and, you know, connecting with the Asian American Commerce Group for whatever resources that we can provide them, from education to really hand-holding them, you know, helping them even in transitioning to this type of situation.
Thank you all. So it is CMC's tradition to take audience questions. Lainey Cuthbert of CMC is curating questions from the live stream audience. Lainey, what is our first question?
So Celial and Sarah Kemas, I hope I'm saying your name correctly, from Horizon Science Academy is asking, how can institutions with students support each and every opportunity of diversity and inclusion by partnering with your chambers?
Yes, I can start. So we have partnered with, he's going to kill me now. There's a community college out on Refugee Road, and we partnered with them, and they allowed us to host our workshops there, right? So thinking about all the services that we provide and looking at how you can plug in, I would say, is a great start. So whether it's supporting a event specifically or joining, right? And we also, like the students can attend workshops. Like I've had students from Columbus State and different schools come to our workshops because they're interested in business or interested in starting their own company. And when we did Daymar College, got it. But when we were there, some Daymar students would come and into our workshops to get to hear about what we're talking about. But I would suggest join. We have corporate partners, we have allied businesses that aren't black owned that can join because they support the mission.
So we have also partnered with a couple of schools. Columbus Bilingual Academies is one that has allowed us to host our annual job fair. We do it at their gymnasium, but it also, you know, we work closely with the students while we're there. And, you know, similar to what Avery said, you know, there can be partnerships in whether it's sponsorship or even depending on what grade level the student is in, internships. You know, there is a lot of opportunity there because in our case, we are also a volunteer working board, and there's a lot of opportunities, whether it's in, you know, education or it's in even marketing or social media or whatever, that students could kind of, you know, help with us or also attend some of these workshops because they are free. You know, there's specific things that are open only to membership, but there's a lot that we do that's open to the general community, and so having that sort of involvement is important. And I think that you said this was coming from Horizon Academies. I know that they cater to a large Hispanic population as well. So it's good, I think, for students to know from, you know, a very young age that there are these opportunities out there and, you know, that there's other people like us, you know, that that are excelling in the world. And, I think that would be a good way of exposure for them, too.
I certainly would like to, from Horizon, whoever is representing or asking the question, to connect with me or Shamraj Jaksha, our president, is here in the audience, and we'd like to start even some sort of like a mentorship program. Also, we have events. One event that's coming up for us is the Economic Summit. I think that will provide the students from Horizon, even if we help us in during the events, you know, in whatever capacity. I think that will be a good start.
Carol Mary asks, how are your chambers reaching out to larger businesses to improve diversity and assist them with inclusiveness?
All right, so one good example, so I sit on the board for CCDC. It's a local CDFI that specializes in real estate. And our board president is Mike from Ohio Bankers League. And so through our relationship that's we're growing over time, he's helping us plug into the banks. And so we're not just on for us, for capital, but also how can we be contributing to the conversation? And so we try to look at organizations like those as great entry points or the different liaisons that happen at all the different corporations to talk, have conversations about how can we be mutually beneficial to one another. Whether it's contract opportunities for our businesses or they have some sort of a program or loan product that we can share the word about, spread the word about. That's just how we kind of come at it. Just it starts with a relationship, and then it grows into formalized partnerships.
And the way that we started as a chamber was through our Managing Your Business series, which is an educational series that we have that focuses on three main areas of challenge to our community, which is marketing, human resources, and finance, and also, you know, some legal in there as well. And what we do is we open these for speakers, you know, to come from any organization, whether or not they're members of our chamber, in an effort to establish those relationships, but also to allow these companies in the general market to know that we're here, that we exist, and give them more of the numbers that encompass our community, you know, whether it's the amount of business owners that are out there or the workforce that is out there. So it's something that, you know, like I said earlier, we are a very new chamber, so we don't have a lot of corporate partnerships, but we are definitely interested. We work very closely with the Ohio Commission on Hispanic Latino Affairs, you know, as a connection. That they help us connect with the general market in ways that they find could be beneficial for both us and our membership. So, you know, I can't say that we're doing a great job at it, but it's something that we're definitely working towards. So if there's anybody out there that wants to connect with the chamber, you know, we would be more than happy to connect with you as well.
And for us, as I mentioned earlier, the Asian Americans consist of so many descent, I would say, ethnicities. So we are starting to collaborate with the different groups within the Asian American community. I mean, this is an excellent, actually, if we thank, of course, Columbus Metropolitan Club, this is one way for us to really reach out and be open. We are open to any to anyone to be part of our group, Asian American Commerce Group. And I'm part of the Central Ohio Diversity Consortium as well. So that's how we reach out. And again, we would like anyone to join our Asian American Commerce Group.
Ron Sachs from Clara Vista Productions asks, how are your organizations using all kinds of media to help tell their organization's stories to a diverse audience and including the mainstream?
So I can start with that one, just because I work in media. So one of the our biggest partnerships is with La Mega Media, which is a company that I work for, and that actually was coincidental. That's how I became involved with the chamber to begin with. But that is really how we connect to our community. So through radio stations. So we own radio stations in Columbus, Ohio that do Spanish transmission, print publications, and digital outlets. We connect, you know, to the general community, and everything that the chamber does automatically ties in to getting the word out to the general market. We have not done a great job of connecting within, you know, just mainstream media, unless something is covered with one of the events that we do. So one of the events that was most covered was our Hispanic Restaurant Week, which really put us, you know, out there on television and digital media, and really letting an audience know that the chamber exists and that we cater to these specific businesses, and also the job fairs that we have done that really highlights or puts us on a platform to the companies that are looking for employees, whether or not they're Hispanic, but they're speaking specifically to the Hispanic community. So I can't say that we've done a great job at connecting with the general media, but you know, the relationship that we have as a nonprofit organization with La Mega Media, because none of the advertising is paid for, really lets us get into, you know, our own community. And I think that, you know, this is also an opportunity for us to really try to connect to just general media outside of social media channels, which is, you know, something that we just naturally do as an organization.
We just updated our website to make sure that for any job openings or contracts that are available are posted. Second is, you know, our Facebook page. We're very much alive as far as the Facebook page is concerned. LinkedIn, you know. So we have about 3,000 in our database right now, and they're not only Asian Americans. They're really, you know, a very diverse group of people in our database. And so with that, every time we have an event or any program, we certainly blast it out to those 3,000 and more. We're coming up in May, which is the Asian Heritage Month, and also we'll probably do our economics summit in tandem. So we promote it, we send it out, and we're very active as far as social media is concerned. We are very out there.
Yeah, and for us, it's just been over time cultivating relationships with some of the different, I guess, mainstream media. So like we've had conversations with Haley at Business First. We have working relationships with editors at the Dispatch and Columbus CEO, Dispatch Media Group. And that happened over time. We haven't specifically sent out press releases or anything like that, but just we always make sure that if somebody reaches out, or I try my best sometimes, especially in February, there's a lot of outreach that we receive. So I try to be as responsive as possible, but when somebody asks for a quote or just a perspective on a story, I'm always trying to be available to those things, and or positioning our businesses to be available, to be a voice to tell their story too. So for us, that's just been building over time.
So Mike or Sean asks, do you believe that you have shared interests between your chambers, and how might your chambers improve the outcomes for all minority businesses in Columbus?
Yes. Yeah. Short answer. While it's not formalized with the organizations, if there's opportunities where someone's asking for like a minority perspective and it comes to me, I'll reach out to Claudia or the AACG, right? And try to bring those things to the table. Same with maybe contract opportunities. I know that when we did Out with Elected Officials, we were trying to bring AACG and you did participate that last time, but we didn't get to do it this in 2020 because of COVID. And the intention was to expand it out to include more diverse chambers because of the space that we're in. And so I think that we could, I think, yeah.
So that's definitely a yes for us. And I want to, I guess, give kudos to Avery, because she has been, ever since the chamber started, Avery has, she was the very first chamber that reached out to us for collaboration. And I thought that that was very interesting because we had, you know, when I started with the chamber, there really wasn't any collaboration with any other chamber. And then today I found out that before it went dormant, we were collaborating with the Asian chamber as well. I do think that, you know, whether it's in our past or currently, there is that sense of collaboration between the chambers. There are a lot of shared interests, you know, because we have not only the minority behind us, but so many new Americans that are a part of our chambers that share a lot of the same challenges. I think it just makes sense. You know, it's very natural for us to work together.
We're certainly very open to collaboration, the Asian American Commerce Group. That's why we said we're open to all. And we certainly would like to focus on the other, you know, races and ethnicities. That's what we are, you know, as our population is getting more diverse. I think it's good to be collaborating.
That concludes today's show. You've been listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, Three Chambers of Diversity, recorded on February 17, 2021. Speaking were J. Avery Frost, Executive Director of the Central Ohio African American Chamber of Commerce and Program Manager at the Columbus Urban League. Claudia De Leon, President of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and COO of La Mega Media. Joy Coons Lewis, Vice President of Asian American Commerce Group and Vice President of Human Resources and Risk Management at Children's Hunger Alliance. And our host, Haley Colombo, Reporter at Columbus Business First. More information about today's speakers, this and other forums, membership in the Columbus Metropolitan Club, and our weekly noon Wednesday live stream events is available on our website at columbusmetroclub.org, where you can register to participate in the live stream. The Columbus Metropolitan Club, connecting people and ideas through community conversation. Thanks for listening.